I'm Tommy Gimler. Good morning to everybody in Pittsburgh, as we're sure you're finally waking up from the nightmare that was a home loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So much for that that Patriots. We'll take them any place, any time. We'll take them down. Mike Mitchell, great call.
Right. And I'm Adam Ferber again. I just want to say, Marcus Williams, I too can relate to having a jammed neck this morning.
I thought you were going to say that you too could relate to taking a bribe.
I wish.
To kneel down.
Who's paying? I'll throw any game at this point. I'm so broke.
I will suck your dick.
Nothing but sports and crap.
Oh, 2018, the first podcast of 2018. We actually had one of our two listeners reach out to us on Twitter saying, hey, where's the podcast?
Yeah, what am I supposed to do with my Monday nights?
where's the podcast? So we've got Adam Ferberg, the very funny Adam Ferberg. You can find him on Twitter at Adam Feuerberg.
You're
Adam Ferberg, very funny guy. Great to have you here. Big news for Adam Ferberg. You're getting married. Congratulations.
I'm getting married. Thank you very much, Tommy. Getting married. It's happening this summer. And I'm loving how on a weekly basis I'm finding new family members pissed off at me about something, which is just great.
So do you have it, you're obviously Jewish.
Yeah.
I'm obviously Midwestern,
right.
Irish, German.
Right.
So a Wisconsin wedding is usually I got married out here, so it was 96 people.
Right.
And that's 96 people. I want to know everyone who's at my wedding.
Then right.
My sister got married 3 months earlier back mm-hmm. in Wisconsin, 450 people.
Wow.
So how many people are going to be at your wedding? Is it the same way?
We're looking at 150, and it'll be half hers, half mine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll be too huge, but it's going to be a big number. Yeah.
Yeah. You have it back home in the Midwest. You have it to where I went back for my sister's wedding.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people at the wedding were meeting my fiance at the time.
Uh-huh.
My wife now, they were meeting her for the first time.
Right.
And so was I. I was meeting them for the first
right.
time.
Right,
it's
right,
like
right.
My mom and my dad, they make, and I think all Midwestern parents do this, they make a list. And it's every wedding that they've ever attended. So when
wow.
their kid gets married, everyone, I went to Ryan Brune's wedding. We got to have Mr. and Mrs. Brune at your wedding. They have to be there. They got to be
definitely,
there.
We definitely had those back and forths. But, mm-hmm. I think we figured out who's coming, who's not coming. I can tell you this. None of, all my high school bullies are coming. They're all coming. Every single one of them. Just to let them know, yes, I am getting laid, Frank.
If he can get out of prison in
right,
time.
Right, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's because you have these uncles. I have a couple of uncles that I do not want at my wedding, right? Or I at least did not want at my wedding. My
right.
mom was like, no, he's your uncle. You have to invite him. I'm like, Mom, do you know his address? Last I heard, he was sleeping on a bench in Whitnall Park, all right? Which bench is it, right? Will they deliver to bench number 6 in the picnic area?
I'm bench 4, Whitnall Park. You know that one. It's the one with the shit smell by it, you know.
Oh, speaking of shit smell, let's jump into the hot mess. I think the first game we have to talk about, Saints Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
Saints Vikings.
The biggest, weirdest, strangest pass play ending ever, because that doesn't happen. No, games don't end on pass plays.
Right.
They've ended it maybe a handful of times in the history of the sport.
If anything, they especially for the Vikings in the playoffs, they
right.
usually end on missed field goals with a range of 26 to 53 yards.
Let's be honest. This is a divisional round playoff game.
Right.
If they win next week, they will lose the Super Bowl. This is the Minnesota Vikings we're talking about. The Purple People Eaters, apparently, the Purple People Eaters are eaten by fate itself because they will not claim a championship. I'm going to say that right now. Hot take number one, 2018, Tommy Gimler, Vikings are going to lose.
I'm right with you on that. You know who else isn't going to be sniffing a championship this year is Marcus Williams, number 43.
Ooh, he was sniffing something.
Rookie safety, yeah. I think he's the NFL and Sean Payton and the rest of the New Orleans Saints front office and coaching staff, they need to keep an eye on this guy's bank accounts.
Yeah.
Because that was that if any play has ever looked thrown.
Well, it's just funny how it's a literal dive. He took a literal dive to
yes.
take a figurative dive. He dove on the play. He broke the cardinal rule of tackling. Which is this the head thing? Do you think it's don't hit the guy in the head and the guy's kind of defenseless, he had to jump up to get it? So do you think he took that kind of training to heart where not to go up and get him?
No, I think he took $250,000
worth
of training into like an unnamed bank account.
This is one of those games, though, that does kind of live up to the NFL fixes games kind of thing, because it was completely one-sided. Then all of a sudden, the other team comes back and takes a lead, and then that team wins it at the last moment. And that kind of plays into how the NFL likes to design its games. And there were calls that were going one way, and then they were going another way. And then suddenly the game was a game again.
And just take a wild guess as to what the spread was.
I'm going to say that it was 3 points for Minnesota.
Minus five Minnesota.
Was a
and the final score
victory.
Was 29-24. They didn't actually kick the extra point.
They didn't kick the extra point.
They came out, they took the
knee.
That's
why they made them do it. That's why in the NFL they make you do it, because it's not about the win. It's about the point spread.
Well, I think in the regular season it's about like point differential as well. But it happened earlier this year, too, when the Kansas City Chiefs were playing a Monday night game at home against the Washington Redskins, and it came down like the final play, the Redskins were covering, and then they tried the whole like lateral thing or whatever. And then I think it was Justin Houston picked it up for the Chiefs and ran it into the end zone.
Right.
So not only did the over hit, but they had also covered. But then when it came time to like kick the extra point, Alex Smith just took a knee. So that's what they did here, too. The Saints threw out a couple of players.
You know, someone in Vegas was mad they didn't kick that extra point.
You think someone? That is one moment where I wish I would have been at, like, the Golden Nugget. Or, you know,
get the extra point.
The Westgate. Right. Or just something.
Someone just spitting out his cigar, yelling at the TV.
Kick it!
Kick it! Point.
Kick it! Come on, you son of a bitch! Oh, man, it's just crazy. So, yeah, now going into that game, it was New Orleans, Minnesota. Minnesota favored by 5. 58% of the money was on New Orleans plus 5. And then the line actually moved, too, to where it was up to like 5.5
So the line was moving throughout the game, even?
I think right up above. Some people got it at 5, some people got it at 5.5, or it was at 5.5 and then went to 5. Either way.
Got it.
So 58% of the money was on New Orleans just to cover. Then 76% was on the money line for them to win the game. So that would have been a big shot right there for Vegas. 76% of the 100% of money that's coming in on the money line, you have to pay out on New Orleans. And since it was, I don't know what the money line was, but I'm assuming there's probably like plus 180 or something like that.
Okay.
So considering they're like 5-point underdogs or something, I would say like high 100s, right? So that's, if 76% of the bets are coming in on the money line and they have to pay out on that New Orleans, that's a hit.
That's a big hit.
Especially with the last game of the day, too.
Wow.
So, you know, odds are people lost their ass in the Pittsburgh game.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, all right, I'll throw it on New Orleans. I'll throw it on New Orleans and win. I think the Saints are going to go in there and win. And they had that game.
Dude, Blake Bortles and Case Keenum are playing in their title games.
So think about that. Or that's something like that's foreshadowing. I want to touch on that in a little bit.
Are we talking about Sam Bradford at all?
We can,
okay,
while we stay on like the Vikings game.
That's weird that Foles and Keenum are playing each other. The Eagles and the Vikings are involved, and Sam Bradford is nowhere to be found.
Well,
each of them were trade for him. No? Or was Keenum brought in after the fact?
No, I think Keenum was brought in after the fact. Yeah.
Either way, they're both products of a Sam Bradford acquisition or loss.
Well, the story there really would be if, like, Case Keenum gets a hangnail or something, or gets the runs, and he can't play or something like that. Like, he decides to go out to Chicky and Pete's on South Street.
So is Bradford available to play?
So Bradford,
he's the backup quarterback?
Bradford would be the backup right now.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe Bradford is still there. So then imagine that. All of a sudden, like, someone poisons Case Keenum's, like, barbecue bacon cheddar burger at Chicky and Pete's.
Someone better check his Amazon dot.
So he goes down, has the runs, can't play, and then Sam Bradford has to play against the Eagles. That was their boy, Sam Bradford.
I feel like if a quarterback ever went down because he had the shits, I'd be like the only one in the room being like, dude, I totally get it. Like, yeah, you ever had debilitating shits before? You ever done that?
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're like, listen, I can't come to work today. There was Tabasco sauce on this fajitas last night. I'm sorry. I'm out.
I told my wife no Indian food.
Tiki masala up my ass.
She
literally
knows what happens when the curry gets in here. She knows what happens. I start sweating. All I can smell is the curry.
Mm.
I think final touch on the Minnesota-New Orleans game before we move on to the other ones. We've already talked about it. I do believe it was a dive. It was unbelievable. At no point were the arms out to even, like, wrap up. Like, you put your head down. You're the safety. You're the safety. What don't you get about that position? You're not a cornerback. You don't have help. You don't have help coming over. You're the safety. There's a reason why they call it no man gets behind you, asshole.
Right.
Make the play.
Don't do that.
The other thing I want to talk about with Minnesota now is they are one game away from being the first team, and I'll put like an asterisk next. Is it asterisk?
Yeah, asterisk.
With an SK at the end.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'll put an asterisk next to that. As it's happened before to where the Rams lost to the Steelers while they're playing at the Rose Bowl.
Okay.
So the Rams technically their home field was the Coliseum.
Right.
And then they went up to the Rose Bowl to play.
Right.
And then it happened where the Niners beat the Dolphins, I believe. I believe it was the Dolphins.
The 84,
at Stanford Stadium.
Stanford Stadium,
And they're the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
So I mean, especially with traffic, it's not close.
They were close. Right. They were close, but not quite.
Yeah,
I remember when the game was at Cowboys Stadium, that was when the Vikings beat the Cowboys in the divisional round.
Okay.
Like 7 years ago, 8 years ago.
Was that a Favre year?
It was a Favre year. Yeah, it was the game before the Saints fucking paid each other to kill Brett Favre.
That was no, because the game when it was in Dallas, that's where the Packers won.
Right, the Packers beat the Steelers in that game.
But, yeah.
Oh, wait, no, you're right. Okay, I'm thinking of 2000... You're right. I'm totally wrong about this. When was the game? The game was in 2010 when the Dallas
Cowboys. That's right, man. It's been a while since we've done the podcast. A lot of rust. You don't have a computer. I'm looking at one.
I'm just hoping. I just want to throw in my Dallas Cowboys love here just for another moment. Just before Skip Bayless ruins it all once again with his professing of Sean Lee and his glass spinal cord every time. So I'm just trying to get in my Cowboys love one more time.
So what do you think's going on at the NFL right now? Knowing my big take on
the Vikings pimping, playing, they're pimping that highlight.
No, but I'm saying the Vikings one game away,
mm-hmm.
and if you look at it on paper right now without Carson Wentz, you have to say that the Vikings are a better all around team.
Maybe so, but Phillies fans are so hungry for a championship. So I think you win either way.
That they will literally run onto the field and decapitate the Minnesota Vikings players.
Right. Well, exactly.
If they're up by three.
Right. Either way, you're going to get a home sellout for the Vikings easily.
Mm-hmm.
Easily that. Or you're going to get the most hungry fan base for a championship coming to a Super Bowl.
I just think that if Minnesota gets to play a Super Bowl in Minnesota, it's really bad for Minneapolis.
How come?
It's really bad for the travel,
income,
the airlines coming in.
Because
if you live down in Eden Prairie or something that, or if you're across the Wisconsin border, you live in Hudson or something that, and you're a Vikings fan,
mm-hmm.
which odds are you are probably because you're so close to Minneapolis, you get all the Minneapolis stations, probably get their home games, whatever. But you're not getting a hotel room. You're driving in, you're parking your car, you're walking around saying, hey, this is awesome. You're getting some dinner, whatever. So you might still get drinks and dinners.
The tourism itself, the tourism business of the Super Bowl is dead. Okay, that makes sense.
Right.
That makes sense.
So I would think that Minneapolis is calling up Roger Goodell saying, hey, man.
Big Vikings fan here, but don't let it happen. Don't let it happen.
Because, this is where the hotel rooms are going to be through the roof. Whatever it says on the back of those doors.
Right. So
it's the maximum they can charge.
Isn't this kind of a failure of why do they put the game in a city? I mean, I know that they mm-hmm. build stadiums in cities where there are NFL teams, and that's what they try to move them around a little bit, but you also have to kind of pick. It's supposed to be a neutral side. I guess one would have. I wouldn't have picked the Minnesota to be in the championship round this year. I wouldn't have done that at the beginning of the year. So it would have probably an easy take. You just don't want to give. You would never have a Gillette Stadium Super Bowl.
Right.
You can't. No one's that stupid.
Until Tom Brady's gone.
Until the Patriots are bad. Then you don't do that. Even if you want one of those cold weather Super Bowls like they had in New York mm-hmm. a few years ago or New Jersey. Which was, kind of a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that would have really – you're right. You would have killed – I guess not if New York, because New York is fucking money.
I feel like in years past, I was always a big proponent of, the conspiracy theory around it. The year that it was in Indianapolis.
Right.
Peyton Manning decided to have neck surgery.
Right.
Just it decided – and, the PR release that went out or the press release that went mm-hmm. out said, he doesn't necessarily need it, but we just feel that now is the right time.
Right.
Why would now be the right time? You're hosting the Super Bowl, right?
Right.
The
don't
Colts are always in the AFC Championship game. Yeah, don't you want to play a home game?
Right.
So there was that. The year that it was in New Orleans, it was Bounty Gate.
And the year that it was in Dallas was the first year that Romo had major injuries, although you can't really control that.
I'm sure something else happened, like a Dallas Cowboy killed a player or something like that. Or you'd have to go back. You'd have to look and see what their record was that year. Was it just there like a super down year?
That was the year that what's-his-name lost his job, Wade Phillips. After winning two division titles in 3 years, he lost his job in 2010.
Yeah, that's because the Cowboys played the Packers, lost.
Right.
Wade Phillips lost his job. The Cowboys or the Packers, and then the next week played the Vikings or vice versa.
Right.
And then the pedophile-looking motherfucker, whoever the coach was up in Minnesota.
Oh,
you remember
yeah.
him?
Yeah, Mike Tice.
No, it wasn't Mike Tice. Mike Tice doesn't look like he fucks kids. He looks more like Steven Seagal.
He kind of looks like he
is it Childress? Brad Childress? Was that his name?
Yeah, Brad Childress did kind of look like
it. Yeah, he here's looks like, you know, a guy like if he walks through Sears and like your kid is like two clothes racks.
On him.
Yeah, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
yeah. So I'm saying, hey, little Tommy, come over and
all
stay by me right now. Yeah.
Pan to Childress. Yeah. His name is Childress.
Brad Childress, yeah. I believe that was his name.
It's really pronounced Childress.
Childress. So then it was like so the Cowboys was one thing, and then the New York Super Bowl,
yeah.
The Giants that year, the Jets everyone knew
would be garbage,
were nothing,
yeah.
But like the Giants still had like a decent team intact, and I think they started 0-7 that
year.
Yeah,
they were bad, they were particularly bad.
But now lately it seems to be like vice versa. It seems to be like all these teams that are hosting the Super Bowl, like they're good,
right?
So this year it's Minnesota, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Where was it last year?
Last year, the Super Bowl was in New Orleans, I think, or Atlanta. I think it was in New Orleans. It was indoors.
Was it in New Orleans?
I could be mistaken. I don't fucking know.
Well, all right. But then the year before, no, it wasn't in New Orleans because I was at the Super Bowl. Was
last
that?
Year?
Yeah,
it was in Houston.
Last year
it
was in Houston, right? And what happened in Houston? J.J. Watt got hurt.
Yeah.
All these injuries started going.
I mean, the Texans drafted Deshaun Watson this year, so they had a high draft pick. I don't think they were very good.
No, there were just a ton of injuries. And then the year before that, it was in San Francisco, and that was the first year where, like,
Harbaugh was gone.
It was a huge – and they had clean house.
Wow,
all these 25-year-old guys were, like, retiring.
Retiring.
And it's always something. But this now is, like, unprecedented.
But this wasn't supposed to happen.
Right. This is the closest. So I wonder if like the NFL like was kind of like
uh-oh.
When they saw that, if they were, you know, when they saw Stephon Diggs make that catch, I wonder if they were inside were like,
maybe Marcus Williams was just like, man, what if I ruined the game? What if I just ruined the NFL finally? What if I figured this out, man? I don't want a head injury.
One more fuck you to Roger Goodell from Sean Payton.
I don't want CTE.
Yeah.
I don't want any of that shit. I'm going to take a dive right here, let the guy score, and ruin the NFL's business. Take away half of their revenue.
It was just so bad. It was almost as bad as the Pittsburgh Steelers defense yesterday against the suddenly potent
It wasn't so much Bortles. It was Fournette, dude. Fournette was just unstoppable. And if Fournette's that good, anyone can throw them. I could quarterback that game if Fournette's running the way he was yesterday.
That guy
you have to block. You have to stop the run. When you have to stop the run that much, you're going to have guys wide open.
He's so amazing, but he is one Anne Frank injury away in his foot.
The
Liz Frank. What is it? Liz Frank?
Liz Frank. mean he's gonna speak up one day and the Germans are going to find him in his attic? Is that what's going to happen? That's a hell of a foot injury.
He's one diary entry away from getting busted.
He is
from
one
TFC
foot injury away from going to Auschwitz. Oh, my God.
Better be careful. No, his foot, like he hurt it again yesterday.
That's a hell of a Tenactin commercial, don't you think? Tough acting, Tenactin.
I think it's more of a want to get away commercial from Southwest. Hey, I think he's got an Anne Frank.
His foot's burning, and there goes his whole family.
Oh, want to get away? But yeah, no, he was amazing. It was just there were so many bad plays from that were either called.
Right.
Or just executed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number one, it's fourth down. I think it's either like first, second quarter. It's definitely first half.
Right.
Fourth down and one.
Mm-hmm.
And you pitch the ball back like 4 yards. Like, what are you doing?
Dumb.
You need one. Now all of a sudden you need 5 yards.
Right.
It's like when it's fourth and inches. The Packers do this all the time. It's like fourth and inches and Aaron Rodgers is in the shotgun.
Right.
And he's taking the ball from the five. And it's like now it's 5 yards and inches. Like,
just give the quarterback the ball and run it forward.
No quarterback is bigger than Big Ben, right? I think he's the biggest quarterback in the league.
Easily.
You can't just tap Pouncey on the ass and say, take this guy out.
Right.
Get a couple of inches. All he has to do is fall forward and he gets it. So they right. fucked up twice on that. And then the onside kick with 2:18 when you had
the
three
onside
stoppages
kick cost
of the clock.
Them the game. That cost them the game, dude. That was it. If they right. don't do that, they had, that's at least a field goal.
They
in
went
their favor.
Three and out. They went three and out and they got that field goal. So now imagine if they go three and out from the 25. Now they punt. You probably have the ball with, about, I'd say, a $1.40 left right. at maybe your 20 at the worst. And you have a $1.40 to go.
You take those 3 points off the board.
Correct.
You have a chance to turn so
now,
that around.
Yeah, and all you need is the touchdown to tie.
Right.
That's it. Not to win right. or like touchdown and then onside right. kick at the end. It was baffling to me. So now, like, I'm always looking at like Mike Tomlin as a Packers fan. And I'm like, man, I wish Mike Tomlin was coaching my team. I bet you as a Cowboys fan too, because your coach is another piece of shit.
My coach is a cheerleader. He's
right.
a cheerleader.
He's a puppet.
He's lucky that he has Marinelli with that defense, because they're just like, he's coaching that roster up.
Right.
That roster needs to be coached up. But the offense is just so, I don't want to say one note, but this year was so clear that they need a good line and they need a good running game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are things that can make someone like Dak Prescott special.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe haven't discovered that yet, because last year was the year where everything went right. And so he didn't – even the comeback against the Packers was mm-hmm. special, but no one got hurt. Everyone did their jobs, and the game played itself out. This year, he's running for his life,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have any quick – design plays to just hike the ball and get it the fuck out of there.
So, but at this point, like, as you've seen enough as a Cowboys fan, where it's like, we need change.
Yeah.
We need change there. We do have some talent.
And
it's the same thing, I think, if you are a Cowboys fan, a Steelers fan, and a Packers fan.
Right.
Now, at least in the case of the Packers and the Steelers, you've tasted postseason success.
You have Hall of Famers running those teams.
Right.
From the player perspective.
But at the same time, it's like, for so many years, like, it really took Aaron Rodgers getting hurt to expose how bad Mike McCarthy was as a play caller,
right.
how much he covered up the fact that our defense was dog shit.
Right.
And in Green Bay, people are finally calling for Mike McCarthy's head, finally saying, like, hey, he's got to go. Everyone's got to go. It's got to be a regime change.
Right.
While an outsider looking in might say, what are you talking about? You're always in the hunt for the NFC North title. You're always in the postseason,
right.
NFC Championship games.
Right.
And I think it's the same way if I'm looking at Pittsburgh right now. I'm a Mike Tomlin fan. But if I'm a Steelers diehard, how many times are we going to lose to the Patriots? How many times are we going to have postseason dick-ups like this
right.
before it's like somebody has to go?
Right.
You have to go. You can't just – like Big Ben has one, maybe 2 years left.
Mm-hmm.
He's already said like –
people,
you know,
thought he was done at the first 4 or 5 weeks this year, and then he totally turned right. it around.
You're going to have to pay Le'Veon Bell, and if you're paying Antonio Brown as much as you are, it's just not going to be there. So maybe you have like one – or like two more years
of
this
tank?
Core.
Do they tank in upcoming season to get a quarterback?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
But I think that like you their time is now. So either Tomlin needs to sit down and everyone needs to figure out like, why are we calling these shitty plays?
Right.
Or like in the case of the Packers, they pretty much cleaned house except for Mike McCarthy.
Right.
So he's probably on call here. He's on notice here. Hey,
right.
you
right.
dick up like you did this year
right.
and you're gone.
Totally.
But I think I finally get that now. If for all my Steelers buddies who are out there,
mm-hmm.
who have always been saying, like, I don't know, man, Tomlin's got to go. Like, somewhere in that organization, somebody has to go because the dick-ups are continual. Yeah,
he's
you make the postseason.
He's had a good run of time with this team, yeah?
Right. Well, the last time they went to the Super Bowl, they lost. So they won the Super Bowl against the Cardinals.
They lost to the Packers.
To the Packers. So that was what,
2010?
The 2010
I guess
season?
Yeah, 11 postseason, yeah.
So now you haven't been back to the Super Bowl.
In 7 years. It's been a while.
Right.
It's been
so
a while.
So sooner or later, it's like, yeah, that was nice, but.
Right.
You know. Anything else you want to talk about that game?
Here's the thing. I'll say this to that kind of point. If you were to get rid of someone like a Tomlin, who do you replace him with? Who's so good that you replace him with? Because then you have to kind of start. You can't expect him to win now if you have a whole new
regime change,
do
yeah.
you? Like, that's kind of the cruel thing about replacing someone of Tomlin's. He's going to get a job somewhere else
mm-hmm.
immediately. Like, one of the openings he's going to get. And then who do you get?
Right. And who's going to make, like, are you going to get that Sean McVay?
Right.
Or are you going
are you
to get Ray Rhodes?
Right. Or Brian McAdoo. You know, yeah. just remember when that guy
Ben
was.
Ben McAdoo.
Well, see, he doesn't deserve me to get his name correct, all right? Not with that haircut.
That's one guy right there who I think New York City swallowed him up. So totally. we haven't talked about it because we haven't done a podcast in a while.
Right.
But Ben McAdoo, like, look at the picture of him when he first
got the job. He shows up. He's got like the Hitler Youth haircut, like the slick back, the parted and then slicked back.
And then the
it's just
porn
like, at that point, just shave your fucking head, dude.
Oh man,
shave your head. Or at least snip off the sides of your mustache so you have the little Hitler stash to match the haircut.
Man, it was just kind of like how many like parties
I would love.
This guy going to at night? I mean, that city just swallowed him up. It was so bad, like he had lost like focus so bad that he had given all of his players at the beginning of the year the new Jordans because none of them got arrested. It was like, hey, way to go out, not commit any crimes. Here's a new set of Jordans. How can you respect a guy like that?
You don't reward people for stuff like that. You reward them with new Jordans when they make the playoffs.
Right.
And you say that on day one.
If you make the playoffs.
There's a whole, my whole office, there are 53 boxes of the new Air Jordans. Mm-hmm. None of you get them until you make the playoffs. Do you want to put a new pair of Jordans? I know they probably had the money. They don't need it.
Right.
But maybe it was like, maybe, who knows? Maybe you can't buy them. You know, something like that. Just have an incentive for excellence, not just being a fucking regular person.
Yeah, I don't get how that would motivate. I'm more like the, you remember the movie Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield?
Yeah.
When he's like trying to have all of like his kids' papers writing or written for him.
Right.
And he's like, what is this? And he's like, oh, it's your thesis or it's like your term paper.
Mm-hmm.
And he throws it down and he's like, you know what? I want to write that paper. He's like, you're never going to learn anything if you have all these other people doing your work for you.
Right.
And then he storms out of there. That would be like me. Like,
right.
Why are you giving me Jordans? I'm not supposed to get arrested.
Right.
It's like a Chris Rock.
And I already have them.
Yeah. You're supposed to graduate high school, you dumb motherfucker. Like, you're not supposed to go to jail.
Right.
So it's like I would have zero respect for a guy if I just showed up and he's like, hey, way not to get arrested in the offseason. Way not to be a Baltimore Raven or a Cincinnati Bengal or a 49er.
Miami Hurricane.
Or a Miami Hurricane. That's a great, beautiful thing about doing a podcast with another comedian is that you go off on tangents. And we start talking about Anne Frank, Hitler stashes, and Ben McAdoo
handing out Jordans. You know what? I want to play for Ben McAdoo. I need some Jordans. I need a new pair of shoes. I haven't gone to jail ever. How many Jordans does that get me? I can think of like six pair right now I want.
So it's Jacksonville in the AFC Championship game against, of course, New England. So think about this with New England taking down Tennessee. Tennessee looked just awful, right?
Yeah.
But they look like Tennessee.
Anyone playing the Patriots. Like, fucking, why are they always so good? And this bullshit story, we didn't have a chance to talk about this.
We have time.
The story that was supposed to send the Patriots reeling from ESPN saying that fucking Belichick wanted whatever his name was, Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Garoppolo. What kind of a name is Garoppolo?
I think it was just another thing. I wonder if like too many bets were coming in on New England to win the Super Bowl.
Well, so, like, the NFL Mortensen didn't have a deflating ball story, so he needed to deflate his own balls.
Well,
that's bullshit.
This one came from Seth Wickenstam or something like that.
Who the fuck is Seth Wickenstam?
Exactly.
If your name is Seth Wickenstam, the last thing you want to do is put your name out there to human being lexicon.
I think that might be an Urban Dictionary entry right there.
This story is by Seth, anonymous.
That gave her the old Seth Wickerstam and got the fuck out of there. The whole story came out to where it was like Belichick was pissed that he had to trade Garoppolo. Brady wanted Garoppolo out of there because he thought that they were going to eventually Joe Montana thing to him and ship him off to Kansas
City.
He's
going to take my Uggs contract.
Right.
Fucking
whatever.
Idiot.
So the whole story came out, and it obviously did nothing. Like, Belichick is going to go to the Giants at the end of the year, blah, blah,
whatever.
Blah.
Whatever. No, he's not.
Ended up being obviously pure bullshit. New England comes through, smokes Tennessee. Tennessee looked like they were the second-place team in the AFC South.
Did three teams in the AFC South make the
two-teamer
guy?
So, and if you're on the Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, how much heroin were you doing Saturday night watching this? Like, we lost to that team.
Well, here's the thing: that game, if a quarterback throws a pass, and one of the linemen deflects it, that quarterback catches the ball and scores, you should lose the game immediately. The game over. Should the rest of the game doesn't matter. Now, of course, Tennessee ended up coming back and winning, but I'm sorry, if you let a quarterback catch his own fucking pass and score a touchdown, that should be the game.
That
should be everyone should throw their yellow flags and their red flags on the field, and the quarterback for the losing team should cut their wrists on the field and just end it right there.
That's
the end of the game.
I would say maybe like get skull fucked at the 50, but cut your wrist.
Well, I guess he can live. As long as the skull fucking kills him, you know, one of the two.
Oh, it would be like the MTV Rockin' Jock, like 50 point basket. It's like you throw the ball to yourself.
The only time that Roger McDowell got more press was at that or the Seinfeld episode. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Who the fuck was Roger McDowell?
He's a Mets pitcher, man. And he was actually, I think he's probably still is a pitching coach somewhere.
Oh, okay, good.
In Major League Baseball.
Well, I hope he's wearing the wacky-ass outfits that he would wear at Rockin' Jock.
So, Tennessee, coached by Mike Mularkey.
Love the name.
Did you have the Tennessee Titans going to the postseason at the beginning of the year?
No.
All right.
Absolutely not.
Hardly anybody did.
No.
I took them to win the division.
Really?
And to get over 8.5 wins. With that win over Jacksonville the final week, they got their 9 wins. So, Barry, Justin, and Kelly all owe me $50, which is really nice, all because the Tennessee Titans were able to take care of business.
Nice.
Now, Mike Mularkey goes 9-7, wins a road playoff game. Wins a road playoff game. Something Marvin Lewis can't even win a home playoff game. Marvin Lewis never won a postseason game in Cincinnati, signed to a 2-year contract extension. Mike Mularkey wins in Kansas City and then loses to New England. No one had Tennessee beating New England, okay. Hey, congratulations. You made it to the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
Mike Mularkey fired today.
Mike Mularkey got fired
today?
They
made it look like it was like mutual.
A resignation?
But yeah. But mutually. Like they mutually decided to part ways. But what they did is they told him, like, hey, all of your coordinators, we need a change in your staff. And he was like, bullshit. These are my guys. We just beat Kansas City in Kansas City.
Wow.
And then we lost to New England. Like, who cares? That's a successful season for Tennessee.
Yes.
So that's a bunch of malarkey, if you want to call it. So Mike Mularkey out of a job after winning a postseason game.
The Dallas Cowboys in 2019, Mike Mularkey, calling it right now. I don't know. He's going to get done next year.
I just can't believe that. I cannot fathom that a guy like Marvin Lewis, 0-7, 2-year extension this year.
He's never won a playoff game?
Never won a playoff game.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable.
This has got to be it for him.
All right, and then the final game from the weekend, it actually came down to the final minute, which was nice, but otherwise it was like I thought it was dog shit.
Yeah.
Just Atlanta against Philadelphia. Philadelphia wins 15-10. Julio Jones.
That was a boring game.
It really was.
Yeah.
It was just kind of like a bunch of teams moving the ball 40 yards and then like failing to convert on 3rd and 4, so you punt.
It kind of felt like the Cowboys game, the Cowboys-Eagles game to end the season, week 17, if like guys tried for another 5 more minutes.
It was pretty bad.
5 more minutes of effort into it.
Now, the best part of that game happened afterwards on a Philadelphia train. Did you see this? Did you see the kid? He looks like James Franco's son. Not son, but like, you know, little brother. James Franco's little brother getting a blowjob on the Philadelphia train.
Holy shit.
You missed
this? No, what?
Oh, dude. I mean, this chick was going hard at him, man. I mean,
damn.
It was.
And like, there's no blanket. No blanket. Just pull out.
No blanket. I mean, it's Philadelphia, so they have like long sleeves and a jacket on.
Sure.
And then she's wearing like the tight black pants. So she has no pockets for him to put his hand in. So like, no pockets, no problem, babe. Just right in the humple. Like, right through, like, it's crazy. If you come around over here and take a look on the computer.
Oh, shit, what did I kick? I kicked something.
No, you're fine. Okay. Everything's good.
Hold on. I'll be right back, everybody.
Adam Ferber coming around to take a look at a young lady from Philadelphia who is probably not on speaking terms with her father this week. Like, this is going down on the Philadelphia train.
Holy shit, dude. Wow.
Like, they're not even discreet about it. Like, don't worry. That's what happens when Philadelphia goes to the NFC Championship game.
You get a blowjob in the train. Yeah. All right. Good
Eat
for
your
you,
heart
Philly.
Out, Bills Mafia. Eat your heart out. You don't see any Bills Mafia. Granted, there probably isn't a train in Buffalo.
Right, no. They would just do that outside after you slam the chick through a table.
If there is one, it's still coal-powered. Still throwing coal in. So, yeah, that's a knob job of the century right there.
Awesome.
On the,
awesome stuff, Philly. We're proud of you.
That's great. Different angles were taken and thrown up on. It was probably trending.
Damn, dude. Or Barstool.
Philly knob job or something.
Knob job.
So I guess the biggest story going into this week then, with Philadelphia taking care of Atlanta then, is that the guy with the biggest dick in the NFL is one game away from the Super Bowl. Do you know who that is?
Who is the guy with the biggest dick in the NFL?
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles has a huge dick?
Nick Foles, yeah. Biggest dick in the NFL. They asked, like, a couple of years ago, someone was just like screwing around with a player. Like, hey, who's got the biggest – who's like, you know – slinging. Who's slinging the most in the locker room? And everyone said Nick Foles. Like, multiple people said Nick Foles.
Without even wasting a moment, Nick the answer was Foles. Nick Foles. Wow. No wonder the guy still has the confidence to start an NFL game with his passing motion.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? If I had a dick that big, I'd feel confident myself, too.
I wonder if you'll use it during contract negotiations. Like, I don't need an agent. Fucking, just throw it out right
on
the table.
Desk. Just fucking, all right, we're looking at 10 mil a year and a 5 million signing bonus, please.
Put a pen in, please, and roll it back over here.
He signs it with his dick like elephant trunk.
Of course. So, yeah, Nick Foles, I just can't
sucks up peanuts.
I can't wait for it to be like, you know, they're down by three, less than a minute left, no timeouts, third and five, and he finds someone to, like, you know, to win the game, whatever. And I can officially say that Nick Foles, figuratively and literally, is a big dick player.
He's a big dick player.
Big dick player.
Hey, Nick Foles, you're the Super Bowl MVP. What are you doing? Me and my big dick are going to Disneyland.
Sir, we need someone else to sit next to you. You can't. You're at, like, Epcot or something, riding around. You can't. No.
Oh, it's like when, like, a big person has to get two seats in an airplane.
Somebody already is. Somebody's already there. All right, so that means the conference championships are set. Jacksonville against New England and Minnesota against Philadelphia. Who you got?
Well, I have, obviously, the Patriots are going to just curb stomp Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I think that's an easy game. And also, I'm going to take Philly over Minnesota.
I like it.
I'm going to take Philly over Minnesota. The team that wins in, like, those Hail Mary situations rarely come through the following week. They're not teams of destiny are not teams of destiny.
Emotionally spent. All of a sudden the herpes are starting to flare up that you got on Sunday night.
Yeah, you needed a miracle play to win, which means you don't really deserve to get to the next round.
Right.
That's kind of how my feeling on it.
Everyone out. Yeah, you're spent. You're emotionally spent. I'm telling you, man.
Right.
Two guys in the locker room. In the Minnesota Vikings locker room, if they didn't already have an STD, got one Sunday night.
Yeah.
That was unprotected sex night after after that after that went down.
Yeah.
You'd like to say the home teams, Philadelphia and New England. I think what's so crazy is that everyone will tell you the most important position in any sport is quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Shortstop, maybe, whatever. Right. Whatever. No. There's other players on it. Quarterback at the NFL level.
Is the most important
position in all of sports.
Correct.
So it looks like we've got Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles. So here's another thing: like, it just always,
which goes to show you, do not short your backup.
Yeah.
Do not short your backup, because your backup might be the only guy between you and a championship.
You have in the championship games two backups playing. And a third who should be a backup somewhere,
right?
Like in Blake Bortles,
right?
That guy's not a starting quarterback.
It's a backup anywhere else.
So I just love how everything comes up. Patriots. If you're a Patriots fan, like,
it's easy wins.
Enjoy this.
If the Patriots don't win it this year, they fucked up.
It would be the biggest. I think it'd be a bigger disappointment than them going undefeated and then losing to the Giants.
Right.
It would be a bigger disappointment because you have now. You're going to face, to win the Super Bowl, Marcus Mariota.
Right.
And a bum leg Marcus Mariota at that.
Right.
So Marcus Mariota, Blake Bortles, and then either Case Keenum or Nick Foles. You're Tom Brady. You win those games.
I know
he plays against the other team's defense.
And then you call Garoppolo and you FaceTime him with Belichick right there. And then you talk about how ESPN is bullshit the entire time. ESPN's a fucking lie. Have fun in San Francisco. See you later.
I think what's so hysterical here is that, like, where we've gone from like in a year, where we've gone. Last year, the championship games, Brady, Roethlisberger. In the NFC, Matt Ryan, the MVP. Aaron Rodgers,
like,
and the other
MVP
one.
Candidates.
Yeah, right.
At quarterback, whereas like backups and
for the best in the game. For the best in the game. This year, Tom Brady, Blake Bortles, Case Keenum, and Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
It's embarrassing. It really is. I think the one thing the NFL has going for them is, especially if Philadelphia wins against Minnesota, is that is a hungry fan base.
Yeah. No,
hungry. We talked about
it. Tickets will sell out in minutes.
They will flood Minnesota.
Right.
They can deal with cold weather, and right. they are going to go in hordes. Even if they don't have tickets, they're all
going
to Minneapolis.
They're going to the game.
They're going for sure.
Yeah.
So I think for the NFL, that's it's actually like a must win for Philadelphia there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to see some calls going Philly's way.
They need to, I think.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, New England. I don't even know. Jacksonville can't even sell out home games. So I can't expect to, you know, people to say, like, hey, Jacksonville's going to the Super Bowl. Let's fly up to negative 10.
That would be the biggest upset. What's the differential right now? It's got to be at least a couple touchdowns.
It looks like Philadelphia is -3, opened at 3.5.
What?
Or no, Minnesota. Minnesota's -3. Okay. Excuse me. Minnesota's -3. It opened
really?
At 3.5.
Really? So Minnesota. Okay, so Philly's still
down. So people are betting
down.
Philly. People are betting Philly. Okay. Yeah. People are betting Philly. And then here on Vegas Insider, great site. No spread yet. No spread for New England Jacksonville.
Because I don't know if they can count that high.
That's probably it. It looks like at other places, other casinos, it's Patriots -9. Some places
yeah,
9.5.
Yeah, so they're expecting at more than 2 scores to determine the game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. 2 scores.
Yeah.
-9.
Right.
All right. Another championship went down. We'll stay on football here in the hot mess.
Okay.
Alabama took out Georgia, which was a rather entertaining football game.
It turned out to be a boring game, and then in the second half became completely insane.
There were a ton of missed calls in that, too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the greatest
part
about...
What do you prefer more, missed calls or too many calls? I like missed calls more.
Yeah, I really like... Because too many calls, like, just... and I think the NFL is a real problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
The flow, the game flow. Mm-hmm. So many times, it's you're watching a game, and it's so hard to get in because it'll be, like, 2 plays and then holding.
Right.
And there's one... I wish I knew the guy's name, too. It's not Jeff Triplett. He's just an idiot. He's done. he's honestly retired.
Everyone knows the best... guy to call a game in the NFL is Jerome Boger. Everyone knows that. Holden. That was disgusting. 5 yards. He's like, he's the ladies' man. Everyone knows that. Tim Meadows is Jerome Boger. Ladies' man too, the Jerome Boger story.
I call it right now, 2022 Tim Meadows wins the Oscar for playing the Jerome Boger story.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Personal foul. That would disgust them.
There's Jeff Triplett, by the way, is the one guy in the Kansas City, Tennessee game. Did you see that?
No. What did he do?
So Marcus Mariota got sacked. Like, it was almost like an all-out blitz. Mariota's in a shotgun. He just, like, ducks because he's about to get crushed.
Right.
And Jeff Triplett, and he fumbles. Kansas City picks it up. Jeff Triplett blows it dead. Forward progress was stopped. So it's not a fumble because the forward progress had been... stopped. It was an unbelievably terrible call, and actually led to a field goal. It was 14-0 at the time, and it led to 14-3, and obviously the Titans went on to win by 1 point.
Holy crap, dude.
So, but you won't hear anything about it anymore because Jeff Triplett, that's his final game. So it's not like, hey, he's going to come back or he's going to be suspended a game for it. He retired.
Oh, he retired. Yep. Okay, so he didn't care.
Nope.
He didn't give a shit.
No, he took his money. He took his money. Tennessee wins. Because so many people just had Kansas City outright to win that game.
Right.
But, yeah, I do prefer the missed calls. But
yeah,
in that Georgia game, there were some, like, especially on the game tying touchdown.
But did you see Mark Richt, like, get a penalty on Miami and they're in the Orange Bowl because of some bullshit calls against Miami?
Oh, yeah. And then at halftime, they were like, Mark, what's going on? And he's like, look at the tape. You'll see it.
And, oh, we did. You were right, Mark. But goddamn, dude, don't get in the fucking guy's face, dude.
I think you can only take so many bad calls.
Right. And not 2 in a row that take away a score and then give someone else a score. That was a 14-point differential.
Right. One of the biggest stories, I mean, Nick Saban, just unbelievable. I think the craziest part about Nick Saban and all of his success is how his entourage and everyone at Alabama is able to hide the money that they're paying their players. Mm-hmm. Like, every school gets busted. And usually, like, schools throw in, like, a bad year or something like that. So the NCAA.
Right.
Like, for Wisconsin Hoops,
right.
This is that year.
Yeah.
They are terrible. They're dog shit. They have had some white teams come through the University of Wisconsin.
Right.
This is the whitest basketball team I've ever seen.
Are there no Frank Kaminsky's on the roster this year?
Oh, there are people who are whiter than Frank Kaminsky. It is unbelievable, man. They look more like UW-Platteville. Than UW-Madison. It is crazy.
I don't even know where Platteville is.
So they're terrible. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's the joke. Never even heard of it.
The Daily Upper Decker podcast, where jokes are explained on the show.
Only the good ones. So, they're terrible. But this is their down year. So I don't care. It's like they've provided so many great moments over the last 4 years. Throw a bad year in there. Keep the NCAA off your back.
Right.
Start paying them again next year. It's great. So in Alabama, you know it's there. It's somewhere those guys are just making bank because it's the equivalent of a pro program.
Right.
So somewhere those guys are getting paid because the best of the best are coming. And he's just been able to stay out of the news. And I think he just... at any point, if a reporter in Tuscaloosa ever asks a question that can kind of be like negative or like take away from how great the program is, he just blows up at him. Golly, I'm trying to get ready here for the biggest game of the season, and you're over here trying to find out whether or not this guy's going to be eligible to play because he stole two cars, two counties from here. By golly, you're sure making it hard. And they make this like 25-year-old reporter just feel like the biggest bag of shit. They probably get fired from the Tuscaloosa newspaper.
Right.
So it just kind of like it's almost, I think, run out of fear. Like, do not break this up. Alabama football is good for the NCAA.
But it's also the only thing that's probably making any money in Alabama. So let's be perfectly honest. They were, right? How close were they to getting a guy who was screwing around with 14-year-olds or how old the fuck they were into the Congress?
Oh,
you got to get something positive in there.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Well, here's another positive story, at least funny story. I find it positive. It's a learning experience for this kid. Alabama student gets arrested for passing out naked on an office building front porch after the national championship game.
He was just looking for a job. It's a tough job market in 2018 for a recent graduate. He figured, I got nothing to hide. That was the statement of his. That was literally his cover letter.
According to the Tuscaloosa News, a 19-year-old University of Alabama student was arrested and jailed early Tuesday morning after university staff found him naked on the porch of a school building. Responding officers found him butt-ass naked around 5 a.m., which would have been about 5 hours after the Crimson Tide locked up their fifth national championship in the last 9 years.
Please tell me that it said butt-ass naked in the newspaper.
No. That's great writing on the Daily Upper Decker. DailyUpperDecker.com, on Facebook, on Twitter, at Daily Upper Deck. Upon our arrival, I saw a white male sitting on the porch. It's the police now. Naked with his clothes scattered in various places. The student stated that he had been drinking earlier in the night and didn't know how he ended up there.
Awesome.
The officer said the man was not a danger to himself or others, but they charged him with public lewdness because some University of Alabama employees had seen him. He was later released from the Tuscaloosa County Jail on $300 bond.
Damn, dude. Did he just trade in his clothes for that?
You know, there's probably a point that he's a college kid, so $300 is like $3 million, right?
Right. Well, unless he has maybe those McAdoo Jordans, that's probably the same equivalent.
Yeah, he's not. He went to jail.
He didn't get the Jordans.
He got arrested.
You know
that there's probably a thought going through that guy's mind, like he had to pay a $300 bond. And he probably has like a fine coming up.
Right.
I one time like. Took a grill off of a front yard, like someone had thrown it in the front yard of a house, and I was like stumbling home drunk, and I picked it up and started walking down the street, and there was one of Whitewater's finest right there.
Oh no!
It was my 1 year at Whitewater, so I'm walking down, and he comes over, he gets me for misappropriation of property.
He doesn't even know what the word misappropriation means.
I didn't either that night. I had no idea. So he take me down to the cop shop. They give me like, you know, I didn't go to jail or anything. You know, they just took my fingerprints and they sent me home. So then the fine that I got that was attached to it was like $220 for it. But it was like you could trade that money in. You could spend a night in jail for every like $50 or something that you owed. And at that time I was in college and I was working. I was a waiter at Tumbleweed.
Right.
And, you know, I was working like double on Friday, double on Saturday. I was making decent cash, but I was still like $220. I'm like, I could probably just tell my professors that I'm not going to be here next week, get my homework and everything, and spend 4 days
at Tumbleweed and pay for it.
No. I was going to go to jail.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Like, you know, if you go to jail, I think you can serve off like $50 at a time. But I was in college at the time. Nowadays, it'd be like $220. Like, whatever. I'll call my dad if I need it like that.
Right,
I'm not going to jail, especially in L.A.
Right.
I'm not going to do a Los Angeles jail. But, you know, who's going to be in jail in Whitewater, Wisconsin?
No surgery can fix that.
You know, a couple of guys who hit their wives or something like that. You know, maybe a couple of meth heads, whatever. A couple of drug dealers. Who cares?
Right.
You know, like harmless.
Right.
Harmless. So I seriously contemplated spending 4 nights in jail when I was in college. So I wonder if this kid, they don't have a name for this kid, but odds are $300, $50 a night, a week in jail, 6 days in jail, maybe. Especially with the semester, like, not coming up
it's
until
over.
The end of January.
It's a week off. It's fine.
It's a week off. But my point to the kid is like, hey, man, learn from this. Shit happens when you party naked. I pissed on pals in the Wisconsin Dells and then passed out face first. And that was when I was 25. Like, into that puddle of piss that I just had urinated all over my buddy in this hotel room. And it's just kind of like, hey, life goes on. You're 19. So what? You woke up naked. It'll be a funny story. If it's not a funny story already, one week later,
yeah,
like,
life
you know,
ain't
it's
worth living.
It's crazy. Another funny story moving on here in the hot mess. I can't wait to get your take on this one. We live in a society, believe it or not, Adam Furberg, where we need to have celebrities and football players remind the public not to eat laundry detergent.
Oh, no.
Did you see this?
No, they should eat it. I think every kid who wants to eat laundry detergent, eat it. That way, all the stupid morons on the planet are gone. You see what I'm saying? This is called what they call it to call population control. This is why we have wars every 100 years or so. It's because you got to thin the numbers because there's only so many resources on this planet. And I say, let's not have World War III. Let's not let that happen. Instead, if someone's stupid enough to put laundry detergent in their mouth, let them do it. They're gone, and we have more resources.
So these are the Tide Pods.
Yes.
The Tide Pods.
Yeah.
So apparently what happened is at The Onion, they did, like, a funny article, a joke article about, like, the Tide Pod Challenge or, like, the laundry. I don't know if they said it was Tide Pods. I don't know. I didn't see the article.
Kids actually started doing it.
And they started doing it. And, you know, it's like, these aren't, like, inner-city troubled youths who are doing it. Like, they can't afford Tide Pods.
Listen.
In the inner city, man.
Money can't stop stupid. In fact, money sometimes pays for stupid.
Right.
So let them eat the fucking pods.
These are suburban, like, rich kids.
Yeah.
Rich kids.
Let them eat the pods. Get rid of them.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
If you're dumb enough to put Tide in your mouth, fucking do it, dude. And then give me your stereo.
Yeah.
Give me your cool shit.
Give me your record player,
After you die, give me your cool shit, you rich fuck.
Yeah, vinyls. Yeah, you're playing vinyls again, huh? You trendy fuck. How many times you got to get up off the couch mid-makeout session to flip over the Chris Stapleton album? All I know is at that point, once I read that story, it was just like, hey, man, if there's an alien reading this, like, bombs away, motherfucker. Yeah. Go ahead. That's it.
See you later.
All right. Almost as trendy as doing stupid shit like eating laundry detergent, porn stars killing themselves. Now, this is going to be our fact or fudge here, our final segment of the day. So I know Shyla Stiles died. She was a little older. And then August Ames, I think, was the big one. She was like 23, and she was in like everything.
And she was fine as fuck, dude. Jesus
Christ. Yeah, she was great.
Awful that I'm like, someone killed themselves. And I'm like, isn't that sad? She was so fine. I'm an awful human being.
Isn't that sad? I should go back and relive her memory by, you know, cranking one, punching my clown. To as many videos as I can. So,
she was a victim of online bullying, right?
Kind of, yeah. So she gave like a made a point about something that was political.
She said something about not wanting to sleep with dudes who do gay porn because
the stats are out
doesn't want STD.
HIV.
Right? Yeah.
Whatever. So she did whatever, and then people like said she
and
was
everyone
gay
said she's a homophobe. Right.
Well, now she's dead. So, August Ames, R.I.P.
Yeah, very sad. Very sad. Don't kill yourself, kids.
So we don't have two players.
Unless,
of
course, your team allows a quarterback to throw his own touchdown pass. Then, you know, do what you will.
Don't eat laundry detergent and don't kill yourself, kids. 2018. Right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the name of a film.
Okay.
And then you need to tell me, is this the name of a film that August Ames starred in?
Got it.
Or not.
Got it.
Are we clear?
Inherent Vice. Yeah. Okay, I don't know. There will be blood.
This is fact or fudge. It's been so long since we've done this.
Yeah, that I'm naming the movies and you're the one supposed to name the movies. All right, here we go.
No. Okay. It's been so long that you didn't give me the fact or fudge.
Fact or fudge.
There it is. Welcome back. All right, our fact or fudge for our first show in 2018.
Got it.
Is this the name of an August Ames film?
Let's do it.
Or not. Dirty Masseur.
Yes.
Dirty Masseur.
It is an August Ames movie.
That is not, actually. That is incorrect. It is not. That is actually an Abella Danger. An Abella Danger.
Oh, I should have known that.
Abella Danger movie. Yeah, sorry about that.
It's one of those things where I'm like, I hope I get them all wrong so the internet doesn't think I'm a fucking creep.
So you're 0 for 1.
Although
for
I did 1. Just say that it was a shame we lost someone because she was hot. So I'm already a bad person.
It's too bad. I wish I could have taken her out. I would have taken her out for a week. Just said, hey, get off the computer. Yeah. Don't listen to this.
Don't listen. They're all full of shit.
Hey, I wouldn't sleep with a guy either. I'm right with you. I'm in your corner. I wouldn't sleep with a guy who's been fucking other guys either. All right. All right, here we go. Sluts August Ames and Janice Griffith get punished by Chris Stokes' big cock. Fact or fudge?
That's a fact.
No, that is also fudge. That is Abella Danger again. Abella Danger
so
sluts
she's...
Abella Danger and Janice Griffith, not August Ames.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. All right, so you shoved the name in there, and then that kind of tricked me.
Yeah,
a little bit.
All right.
Well, I'm gullible.
All right. here's another. So you're 0 for 2. August Ames killed herself. Sad. Is this an August Ames film or not? August Ames gets butt fucked by her stepbrother.
That's an August Ames film.
That is not. Again, it's Abella Danger gets slammed by her stepbrother.
I think what we're learning is that Tommy beats off to Abella Danger movies constantly.
Well, I got a list on one side over here. August Ames IMDb and then Abella Danger IMDb.
Okay. If you're listening, I want you to know I clearly don't ever watch porn. By my 0-for-3 streak.
All right, here. This sounds like a good one.
All right.
Watching My Hot Wife 2.
Yes.
Yes, that is an August Ames.
1-for-4, right, everybody. Good, I'm on the good. Board. Right. 250 batting average.
All right. And finally, is this an August Ames film or not?
Okay.
Titty Cream Pie 7.
No.
That is incorrect. That is actually an August Ames film.
Fuck.
Came out in 2014, and it looks like she played herself.
Well, I finished the show in the Mendoza line.
She probably played with herself, too, in that
right,
one.
Right, yeah,
that's
totally.
A good joke.
Which
that's
is actually what my buddy Mendoza sells, Mendoza lines. So, there you go.
Mm.
Yeah. Supposed to be a cocaine joke. It didn't work.
No, not at all. Why don't do coke?
Clearly, I haven't done stand-up in a while, so I think I'm okay. I'm feeling good about this, Tommy.
I'm not the cocaine guy.
No.
In 2017, it was like, hey, cocaine, I'm coming around.
Not
2018.
You've grown up.
Coke Zero only,
now
baby.
It's all High Life. Miller High Life. That's it.
Coke Zero and Sudafed for Tommy Gimler. Hey, it's been a pleasure. Welcome back to the podcasting game. Adam Furberg.
Yes.
Find him on Twitter at Adam Furberg, which is AdamFeuerberg.
You're a pro.
My name is Tommy Gimler. You can find us every single day at DailyUpperDecker.com. Also on Facebook, on Twitter, at DailyUpperDeck. Houston or Los Angeles Clippers tonight before we do our speakeasy show. Who you got?
I got the Clippers.
Fucking moron.
Daily Upper Decker. Nothing but sports and crap.